the unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth, is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad countless. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
To the Buddha, to the Dharma, to the Sangha. The last talk that I did was on the five aspects of meditation and on the way in which this teaching, the teaching of the five columns, the five ranks, which is really what it is, expresses our longing and love for the eternal, and the eternal's love for us. And the fundamental unity of our love with the love of the eternal. If you were to just read the rules for meditation that we so often recite, and if then you were to consider these five aspects of meditation, ask sincerely, offer wholeheartedly, wait patient, listen carefully, follow gladly, you just look at them with a kind of naive mind, it would be very easy to see things in such a way that there seemed to be no relationship whatsoever between the two. If you remember in the rules for meditation, great Master Dogen talks about physical posture, he talks about the attitude that one brings to meditation, he talks about its meaning, spiritual meaning, he talks about the fact that it brings true spiritual liberation. And there's nothing whatsoever about asking. There's no mention of offering. There's no mention of waiting or listening or following. None of those words are used. So how is it that it's really the same thing? If one were just to look at meditation as a kind of method for getting a particular result, then indeed there would be nothing common between the two descriptions of meditation. But meditation is not a method for getting a result. The formal practice of meditation is a gateway. It's not the gateway, it's a gateway into the deep spiritual, deep religious, the deep contemplative life, the true life of meditation. The precepts are a gateway. If one brings meditation and the precepts together, one brings the heart of meditation and the true spirit of the precepts together, then one has those five aspects of meditation. And this is why, although they never appear in any instruction for meditation that one gives to new meditators, all of those concepts, asking, offering, waiting, listening, following, permeate River Master Jiyu's commentary on the precepts. You cannot divorce the serious practice of meditation from the serious following of the precepts. And they both have an origin somewhere. They both originate in a purpose, a deep purpose. And that purpose is not something that we create. It's a fire that springs up within our heart. River Master used to say, before we ever longed for the eternal longed for us. That's one of those things that for a long time, when she'd say it, it'd register in my guts, yes, this is right, and my head would be boggled by it. Look at it this way. Before we ever responded to the occurrence, heard and responded to the Eternal's call, the Eternal was calling. When all conditions ripen, when we were ready to, we heard it. Somehow we bumbled in to doing serious training and meditation, to finding a teacher in the teaching, to finding the deep Buddhist path. It reminds me of the great Buddhist monk Santideva, who said, this thought of enlightenment, which is this longing, this thought of enlightenment, this longing for the eternal, this motive to train, has arisen within me. I know not how. It is a blind man who finds a jewel in a dung heap. Somehow, in the dung heap of samsara, we found this jewel. Yet it was always there. Somehow we heard that call, that the call was always there. Before we longed for the eternal longed for us. The eternal was calling us home. That's where our motivation for doing this comes from. It originates in that one calls, one answers. One calls, one replies. that purpose, that motive is not of my creation nor of yours. It's the Buddha nature within us responding to the cosmic Buddha's call. That is the context. That purpose provides the context for our initial introduction to meditation. We don't need to know all that's coiled within that meditation, all the potential that's within it, the immense potential within it, to start doing it. That potential uncoils and reveals itself over time. And when we have had a genuine experience of the eternal, in the first Kensho, and then that has ripened and deepened, and the deep conversion of karma has been undertaken and begun, then when all conditions are just right, the deep meaning of meditation itself can reveal itself. Then we know it to be what it truly is, contemplative prayer. Buddha nature communing with cosmic Buddha nature. Our longing love rising to the source of all love. And mixing and melding with it. Our anguished need. Orienting itself toward its true help. And receiving that help. Dogen says in Rules for Meditation, cut all ties, give up everything. The first of the five aspects of meditation, ask sincerely. Let go of external things and turn within. Turn towards the eternal. And let your cry for help go directly to the eternal rather than be dissipated and frustrated by thrashing around among external things. It's really the same thing. Dogen says, give up everything. The second aspect of meditation, offer wholeheartedly. No one ever gives up everything until they're giving it up to something greater than themselves. It's an act of love, an act of deep faith. Not an act of ascetic cutting off or rejection. think of neither good nor evil. Consider neither right nor wrong, Dogen says. Wait patiently. Listen carefully. Get down out of the head, down into the hara, where the stillness is. Take refuge in that stillness. Hold fast to it. Hold fast to the Buddha nature within yourself. Control mind function, will, consciousness, memory, perception, and understanding. Sitting on a cushion, doing one's work, going about one's work, eating a meal, taking a shower, sleeping, live the true spirit of the precepts. Keep one's spiritual grounding. Keep holding fast to that which is true within your own heart. The meaning is all there. It's all there in the description of the simple act of sitting meditation. If one brings the right, a truly religious purpose to that sitting, then that meaning can reveal itself over time. A limitless treasury of consolation. A limitless treasury of peace. A limitless treasury of love. If you do these things for some time, you will become as herein described. Then the treasure house will open naturally and you will enjoy it fully. You will enjoy it fully. Think of those chapters in Lotus Blossom where Master talks about the fourth of the columns, the spiritual bathing. Think of the way she describes it. Love is never mentioned once in the rules for meditation. Yet it's all about love. It's all about that love which transcends our understanding. It's all about giving ourselves to that love in childlike faith and bodhisattvic willingness. Elsewhere in Dogen's writing, of course, there are many, many exquisite places in which the depth of that love reveals itself in as much as it can do so through a human being's words. Remember the chapter in the Shobogenzo, One Bright Pearl. It's all coiled up there within. The rules for meditation. Dogen's view was that there's nothing in the universe that compares with meditation, true meditation, and that true meditation is an end in itself. It is simply the lawful gateway to carefree peace, as he said. This is what Rinpoche Master taught. This is what all the Buddhas and ancestors taught and teach. And it is our birthright, spiritually.